If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 138, we'll be reading Psalm 138. If you have a pew Bible, that is page 488. Again, this is Psalm 138. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your words. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Now we will be turning into your hymns to the number 777. This is going to be a responsive reading. I will read the not bolded part, and as a congregation, we will read the bolded part. It is also in your bulletin. So if you do not have your hymnal, it'll be there. Again, this is number 777. The title is Thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell all the world of his wonderful acts. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will sacrifice a thank offering and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Well, may God add a blessing to the reading of his word to us.
Please join me in a word of prayer as we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I just pray that you would be with us. I pray that your word would be presented. I thank you for the time of worship and song that we've had already. And I just pray that we'd really focus on you and that we'd have a real heart of thanksgiving as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday, but just life in general, that it wouldn't just be one day that we celebrate thanks and but it would be a lifestyle that we live. So I pray you'd be with me and that the words that I say would be from you and you alone. And I just thank you for this opportunity. In your holy name I pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 18 says this: see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In the short time that we have together, I want to answer two questions. How do Christians give thanks in all circumstances? And secondly, how do we as Christians help others give thanks in all circumstances? In 2006, the fall of 2006, I went off to college. So you can figure out how my age now if you do the math. But I went off to college in 2006, and I remember I went to Northwestern College, if you didn't know that. It is now University of Northwestern St. Paul. It's a Christian university up in Minneapolis, in this Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And it was about a 4.5-hour drive one way, so back and forth. If you take the trip both ways, it would be about 9 hours. So if somebody were to come and get you for a weekend, my family would take about 9 hours. So I didn't really get home very often. You know, holidays were about the only times that I came home. And I remember my first Thanksgiving break. I remember being really excited to come home for my first Thanksgiving break. I loved coming home to see my family. I loved coming home to spend Thanksgiving with my family. I loved the holidays. It was a blessing. But I remember something very specific from one of my classes that changed how I viewed Thanksgiving and really all holidays going forward. And what I say next, you may find me naive, or you might, this may be helpful for you as well, but it changed me. It was a very simple thing that my teacher said, and it kind of shocked me, and maybe it shouldn't have, but it did. We were in the class, it was right before the end of the semester, or not the end of the semester, right before Thanksgiving break, and he said something like this, not exactly these words, but he said something like this: "I know many of you are excited to go home for Thanksgiving, and that's great. But there are a lot of people in this room who are not excited. They're not excited to go home for the holidays. They're not excited to be around their family because it's a painful reminder, maybe of the brokenness in their family, loss they have suffered, hurts that they have endured. Holidays can really accentuate pain." And at 18 years old, I had never thought about that. For me, holidays were exciting. I was always excited to go home. And that changed things for me. At first, it made me say, I cannot take my holidays for granted. But not more than that, I can't take anything for granted. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Now, I'm not saying at 31, if you didn't figure out my age before, I'll tell you. At 31, I'm not saying I have it perfect. I don't. I'm not saying that I don't take things for granted. What I'm saying is those words still ring true to me. From 2006 to now, I think about them in the holiday season. And yet, we read a passage that says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And I think, how? If what my professor said was true, how can we, specifically as Christians, achieve that? And so I want to answer just two questions, right? How do we as Christians give thanks in all circumstances if those words are true, that it's not always times of thanks for people? And then how, as Christians, do we help other people give thanks in all circumstances? So let me read this verse one more time for you before we answer these questions real briefly. "See that no one repays," this is 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 18. "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I believe if we want to be thankful in all circumstances, it starts right here with a simple phrase, but an impactful phrase. Something that actually Pastor Rick alluded to in his welcome, and something that many of these songs alluded to as we sang them. It's this very simple phrase, but very impactful. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." See, it's this idea. If I came up to somebody, any one of you, and said, "What are you thankful for?" Which, by the way, we're going to do in a little bit, and I hope there's many things that we are thankful for. But you might come up to somebody and they may say, "I don't think that I have anything to be thankful for. I'm not sure that I have anything to be thankful for in life. That would be a heartbreaking thing to me, especially if that person professed to be a Christian. It would really concern me about the depth of their faith or just the knowledge of whether or not they truly know Christ. Because here's where our faith meets the road. When we understand who Jesus Christ is, when we come to understand what Jesus Christ did for us, nothing else matters, or all other things pale in comparison. When I ask, what are we thankful for? The first things that we start to think about are, you know, my wife and my child, our possessions, finances, jobs. And those are good things to be thankful for. I'm thankful for all those things. And I don't want you later to be like, oh, I can't say that because, you know, what he's talking about, we got to be thankful for our salvation and that alone. No, we can be thankful for those things. But if we do not have those things, if by the world's standard we are not considered to be wealthy, all of a sudden we're like, I don't know that I have anything to be thankful for. And yet, if we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing greater than that. We can literally be, by world standards, the poorest person to walk the face of the earth. And if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have more to be thankful for than somebody who has more money, more possessions than anybody else, but does not know who Christ is. That is something that we have to really internalize as Christians. But here's the thing, here's the issue, and there's probably lots of reasons why we don't. But I'm going to give you three reasons why I think Christians fall short of this. First, I think we think we've done God some kind of great service. When we become a Christian, we're like, hey, I did you a favor. There's a contemporary Christian song out right now that all the words in it really touch my heart, except for one line. It's a reason we've never done it here at church. It says, he didn't want heaven without us. And I think, you find me a passage in the Bible that says that. That is the arrogance of Christianity. That is the arrogance of humanity. Well, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die because he just didn't want heaven without us. Because without Brian Bradley, God just couldn't get along. No, that is so far from the truth. God created us for his glory, and we've fallen so far short of that glory. But to God's great glory, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die to redeem his creation. Not because he was lonely without us, but because he loved the creation that he had made, and it was for his glory and his glory alone that now we have an opportunity to spend eternity with him in heaven. But it's to our arrogance that we go, well, we did him a favor by accepting him. And so we lose that thanksgiving for salvation, right? Another thing is, we don't really understand the depth of our sin. We get lost in this idea that, you know, I'm really not that bad a person. And the Bible says, no, we are sinners. We have failed God in a deep way. And when we don't truly understand the depth of our sin and the glory of God, we go, oh, it's not that big a deal. And we're not as thankful as we need to be for what God has done for us. And then finally, we may become Christians when we're 20 years old or 10 years old, and we could be 50, 60, 70 years old, and we've been Christians for 40, 50 years, and now we just take it for granted. We've lost that first law. I want to encourage you, no matter what we're thankful for today or what we feel we aren't thankful for today, we need to lean into the gospel of Christ. We need to refine that first love. It all starts there. It's the foundation. God created everything, including me, in his image. And humanity fell way short of that, fell short of the glory of God. We see this in Genesis 3 and Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There can be no greater gift than that, and nothing more to be thankful for than that alone. Okay, I know Christ, I'm thankful for that. What else? The passage says, pray without ceasing. I do pray, but God doesn't answer my prayers. James 4, 1 through 3 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fight among you? Is it not that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and can obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. This is the world we live in. We want everything to be equal. We want to have the same wages, the same house, the same car, the same education. Everything should be fair. Again, find the passage that says that. The Bible does not indicate that's how life is going to be, that just because we live, that we're going to have all the same stuff. And so we ask God, essentially, for earthly stuff. And if it falls short of what we think we should have, we don't find thankfulness in God. But God says He will give if we ask in Him for His glory, for His direction. If our hearts are united with God in such a way where our focus is His glory, God's going to answer those prayers in His time. Pray without ceasing. So know Christ. Be thankful for our salvation. Pray without ceasing. And finally, you might say, well, okay, Pastor Ryan, those are all great things, but that doesn't change the fact that I am alone. I feel this deep pain. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I say lean into the church. We need to lean into the church. If we want to be able to truly be able to give thanks in all circumstances, we need to know Christ and we need to lean into our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to find them as our family. No matter what our relationship with our blood relatives is, it might be great, it might be poor, but we say, you know what? The church is the family of God and is supposed to represent Christ well, and I want to lean into that in my times of loneliness, in my times of joy. I want to find them and I want to lean into them so that I can be thankful in all circumstances. They can help me, strengthen me, guide me when I am feeling lost, or they can lift me, or not lift me up, but rejoice with me when I'm feeling joyful. Lean into the church. So how, as Christians, do we find joy in all circumstances? Do we find thanks in all circumstances? First, know that we are saved. And there's nothing greater than that. Pray without ceasing. Lean into that salvation and lean into the church. And then as Christians, real quickly as we close up here, how do we help those, help people around us to find joy and thanksgiving in all circumstances? It's a real simple answer. We need to be the church. We need to fulfill the two great commandments found in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. It says, this is Jesus, and He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. First and foremost, as a church, we love God. And secondly, we love our neighbor as ourselves. Here's where the church fails. I say lean into the church, but too often the church shows up on Sunday and then disperses. We're not the church Monday through Saturday. And I'm not saying Plymouth. I'm saying the universal church. This is true across the board. We've become separated. And we need to be the church for people. We see somebody say, well, I know that person might be lonely during this season or just in general. And I need to reach out to them. I need to show them love and compassion. Love your neighbor. Maybe you've experienced something that another person, a pain, a loss that somebody else is now experiencing. Lean in and say, listen, I don't know how you're doing, but I've experienced something similar. You know, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? Show love, genuine compassion. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ to be able to find thanksgiving and joy in all circumstances. We need to be the church. We need to show love to our neighbors. I know the holiday season can be difficult. And at times it can be really hard to find reasons to be thankful. Now I hope, my true hope is that all of us have lots of different reasons. I mean, yes, most importantly, our salvation. But I hope there's lots of things in your life that you're thankful for. I genuinely do. But I know, as I think about what my professor said, that at times, there's seasons in our life where we struggle to find that Thanksgiving. So whether it's literally tomorrow on Thanksgiving or just in life in general, first and foremost, lean into Jesus. Lean into the truth that I have been set free from my sin and I will spend eternity with Christ in heaven. There is no greater truth than that, no greater gift, and nothing greater to be joyful for, nothing greater to give thanks for than that truth. And then secondly, let's be the church. There may be times in our life where we're really struggling and yet able to praise the Lord. For instance, you look at a story like Job. He's lost everything, right? He lost all his possessions and all of his children. And he got on his knees and he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We may be in times and situations in our life where we feel like Job and we still praise the name of God. And somebody comes up to us and says, "How is that possible?" And this is the first Peter 3:15 passage coming to light. That passage is right smack in the middle of suffering. It's a passage, you look at the context, it's written in the midst of suffering. It's not about joy, it's in a passage in the midst of suffering. So Christians, it's talking about Christians who are suffering, and yet in the middle of that suffering, they're able to praise God. Somebody comes up to you and says, "Listen, if I was in your situation, there's no way I'd be thankful." And you say, "I'm not thankful for this specific situation. It hurt deeply. I don't like loss, I don't like pain, but I'm thankful for what my Lord and Savior did for me, and I plan to honor and glorify Him no matter what comes my way, because I'm going to spend eternity with Christ Jesus in heaven." That's a testimony to somebody that no other kind of testimony can outdo. That kind of testimony to say, right in the midst of the storm, you can stand firm on the rock of Christ. That's different than being, "Hey, I have everything going right for me," and saying, "I can stand on the rock of Christ." Not that we shouldn't do that, but we can give thanks no matter what. That's a powerful truth. And then secondly, and as I close here, finally, do give thanks for the things that we have. Be thankful for your family, for your possessions, whatever you have, for your job. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know that God has given us a number of different things, and praise God for those things and honor and glorify God with those things. So the things that we're thankful for today, tomorrow, at Thanksgiving, don't let it just be today and tomorrow. Let it be every day, and honor and glorify God with the things that He has blessed us with. I hope that you guys all have a wonderful Thanksgiving tomorrow.